Mr. I let you.
Hey, get in here. Dallas is about to start. All right, welcome to the Ewing Barbecue. My name is Mary.
And I'm Sarah.
And I'm Josh.
And welcome to this week. We are covering episode 3 from season 1, Spy in the House, which was written by Arthur Bernard Lewis, directed by Robert Day. And do you guys know when it aired?
4/16/1978.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly. Oh, it's so fun looking at the old dirty style.
The old dirty style? What?
Yeah, the old the dirty miniseries. It's just the creepy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's the miniseries definitely has a different feel to it than.
Yeah.
So this starts with the building of Bobby's office.
Yes.
Construction at Ewing Oil.
Yes.
Very, very interesting. And what was also interesting was the one of the early shots there. You could see them. They were actually signs for them building One Dallas Center, which is now an apartment building.
Okay, I saw that. I was wondering if that was what that was.
I was like, oh, it's under construction, opening soon. So, and since we've all been to Dallas, it's interesting to see how the city landscape has changed over the years from what it was then to when we've been down there. And
yeah, definitely. It always, it seemed, actually, when I went to Dallas, it seemed quite smaller than I had in my head.
Me too. I said the same thing.
Yeah, it's like when JR and Bobby, they go to West Star to confront Wendell or something like that, and you think they have to get in their car and drive across the city. No, you can walk a few blocks and you're in the same building.
They're going to angry walk over there, though.
Yeah, they're going to angry walk.
Very exactly. Angry walk. So they're building the office. JR's not amused by this because he doesn't want him there.
Yeah. Yeah, he wants them doing the three B's.
That's right.
I'm going to say that with them showing that at the beginning, that's kind of them showing, you know, Bobby is now in it. Like, he's starting to be involved in it. You can see JR doesn't like it. And I guess that's kind of like the beginning where you see where Bobby's actually going to be involved. Sorry, my dog's.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And we get to see a little bit of JR's actual relationship with his secretary and mistress, Julie.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. They keep calling it, like Bobby says, well, it's not really an affair. And I'm like, in what way is it not an affair?
It is.
If it walks like a duck and talks like a duck, it's a duck.
Exactly. Like, just because she's a secretary, like, that doesn't make it a different thing.
Right.
Correct.
Well, we did learn, as you said, start to see in this episode where some of the JR Bobby dynamic that we'd see pick up throughout the series, along with his dynamic with Sue Ellen and the JR, you never make love to me anymore.
Yeah, that was heartbreaking.
That was terrible acting.
Made me sad.
Terrible acting by Linda Gray?
Yeah, I'm throwing it out there. It was just, I thought it was, it was.
I don't agree. But
it made me cringe a little. And Julie overacted in her scene as well. When
she did.
JR
she did.
Took her. You know? I just thought, I thought.
Let me go, JR.
I thought both she and Linda overacted in those two scenes, I thought. And we've seen better from Linda as the series goes on.
Right.
It just struck me as very, like, too melodramatic.
Well, she was finally given lines. You know, she's going to just act the shit out of those, like, five lines she gets.
And Larry did tell her her acting was terrible after they shot.
Oh, that's... What a dick! Sorry, Larry Heyman. What the hell?
What was so sad, though, is it made you want to feel so sorry for her. You know, you felt so bad, especially when she's, like, showing her, like, lingerie and, like, you know, she, like, trying to be all...
Girl just wants to get some. Like, that's all she wants. She's like, I need to get some. And he's totally, like, desexualizing her as a person, which I just do not understand.
I think he was more interested in his roast beef on rye with mustard and mayo.
Oh, he was way more interested in that, yeah.
Yeah, he had far more interest in that sandwich than he had in his wife.
Yeah.
In lingerie.
Which is just sad. Because he totally had, I think JR, his big problem there is he's totally bought into that, like, Marilyn versus Jackie thing. Like, you have to marry a Jackie, but you have
exactly.
an affair with a Marilyn, and you can't bring Marilyn home. Which is just like, you just messed up your life there, buddy, because you're going to have the Jackie at home and you're going to sleep with her because she's
your
wife.
Yeah, exactly.
This is true. This is true. It is all Kennedy-esque as...
We are in Dallas.
Right. Oh. You shot that one.
No. Oh! From the
sorry.
Sixth floor depository.
No, but yeah, because... There were a lot of Kennedy-esque strands early on. I mean, I was watching a clip recently as we're remembering Ken, and Victoria said that Ken's early character was based on Jack and Bobby, you know, with
oh,
the politics.
Oh, that's right, like Bobby
the,
Kennedy, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so in JR and his mistress and his, you know, just, it's very Kennedy-esque. I think, and also interesting was that Julie ends up being the first of many women that JR and Cliff share.
Oh,
that is true.
That
I didn't
is
think
true.
About that.
Yes, blue ribbon for her. You're first, Julie.
You're the first. Which
she
I felt
isn't...
really bad for Julie too, because you could tell that JR did have feelings for her. He said
he
did love her,
right?
But he couldn't take her home. That's
which
you know,
which.
And then made for like a dirty whore and gave her $100.
Yeah, that was awful. Here's $100. Like,
which she used to pay for dinner with Cliff. She used
exactly.
to pay for dinner with Cliff.
As she should
exactly.
have. Any revenge that she got from that was fine. Because, dude, you don't do that.
Now, JR's backstory, he had a thing with Julie before the series.
Yeah.
And he had Vanessa and... Leanne.
But I think those were like way before Sue Ellen, though, right?
Yeah.
Right.
It
would be interesting if they made a series in between that led up to the.
Ooh. Like a flashback series. More like Dallas the early years.
Yeah.
That would be really cool.
That would
Dallas
be...
the little later years.
Right.
Little later after
little later
the early years.
Dallas, the post-early pre-regular years.
Yeah. JR's dirty whore years.
I'd watch the shit out of that, I would. Not gonna lie.
I would.
Oh, I would watch it. I would.
Because
we'd
have
totally
Jenna Wade in those. We
oh
totally
my god,
would.
My favorite.
Oh, yes, you're Jenna. We'll discuss her much later on.
Not that much later.
Not too.
I got lots to say about the different Jenna Wades, so.
Awesome.
Jenna 1.0, 2.0, and 3.0.
Yes. I don't like it. I don't like it at all. Especially Fairchild. Okay, I'll get back later.
Okay.
I'll come later. Okay, so really this one, I guess, this is the first episode you see where even they don't really get along, but Bobby and JR work together to solve the problem of Wild Bill Orloff. Like, they don't agree really on how to fix it, I guess, kind of. But they fix it for the good of Ewing Oil. So then that's where you get the basis now of the brother part, and they're always going to be behind their daddy and Ewing Oil, and it's always family. So kind of got that little feel.
And what I like about this is you learn about the underhanded dealings of buying politicians, and it created that mysterious dark side of Ewing Oil in the early years, and the red file, and you know, all that stuff that we don't know about that happened before, and how the empire was, you know, built, and what went on, and it really, and it would have been nice to, if it wasn't a serial, if it was more serialized, to see more of the buying of politicians and that stuff unfold over a longer period than just resolving it in 1 hour.
Right.
Yeah.
Would have been more powerful.
Yeah. They could have really gone into it a lot further if they had had been serialized from the beginning. Mm-hmm. But that comes later.
I do think it's interesting that even though Julie was, you know, the one that he couldn't bring home and couldn't marry within the Ewing family, Julie is afforded way more trust than Pam.
Well, Pam's a Barnes.
Exactly. I mean, even Bobby, like, stuck up for Julie before. He's like, oh, there's no way. There's no way it was her. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking.
You're like,
But she's Pam solved that crime.
Pam's a Barnes, and Lucy just loved the idea at the table of Pam possibly being a spy. The look on her face.
Yeah, she's like, ah, like, oh, drama, yes.
Drama. I get to stir the pot, mm-hmm. which she does. She loves doing. We see that in a couple episodes later.
Yep.
So what are your good, bad, and greats?
Well, my good was the learning about the underhanded dealings of, like, Ewing's buying politicians and, you know, the way that unfolded, along with, it's kind of a multi-pronged thing, starting to see the J.R. Bobby good guy, bad guy dynamics starting to unfold that would run throughout the series, and the J.R. Sue Ellen dynamic starting to take place. You start seeing the seeds of mistresses, which obviously come up, you know, again many times over. The bad, I think, was, well, I mentioned that the melodramatic acting in that between with Linda Gray in that scene and the Tina Louise, her over dramatic.
Take me.
No,
let me go.
You just gotta let me go.
Both of those, I was just sitting there going, oh, yeah. But, and we got to see as the series went on that, well, not with Tina Louise so much because things happen, but Linda Gray, she really grew as an actress over the course of the series from that. That's why I say that.
Right. And she gets to know her character way more. I mean.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Great. Let's see. Great. I thought it was funny, Lucy getting JR to kiss Pam at the end of the episode.
Right. That was funny.
And, Bobby and Orloff were walking through Thanksgiving Square, which came into play later in the series in a very important scene.
We were there.
I have a picture from there.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't even realize that.
Yeah.
Because I could see the other scene in my head that will come up several seasons later, the very important scene between two characters. and I'm going, oh, Bobby's in this scene and Bobby was in that scene, but we won't go there, so.
You brought that up when we were there, Mary. I did. When we were at that, yeah, you did.
I think I was like, wait a minute, because I didn't realize where we were, and then all of a sudden I'm like, I know where we are! Ah!
Because that was the morning I was crying about my credit card being stolen.
Oh, that's right!
Well, that's another story.
Yeah.
No, right. I specifically looked for that on the map. I said, oh, I'm down here. I got to go find this place and just, you know, do the tour while I was walking around the city. And it was like, yeah, here we are.
What are your good, bad, and greats, Sarah?
Okay. My good was I did like this episode because it actually had a plot. There was a couple of things going on in it. It had more of a storyline, and I could feel the need. Like, I could see, like I said, the bond kind of coming, and I think you could see it now. Mm-hmm. It's coming. They're building on it. My bad was probably Julie. She just bothers me anyway. But it was really
is it her feathered hair?
I don't know what it is. I don't know. She's always rubbing on his shoulders, and she's just very overly, like, I'm thinking, if you're trying to keep it a secret in the office, you're not doing a good job. I mean, it's very obvious. I mean, shit.
She did spend a lot of time on an island, you know.
Exactly,
after a 3-hour
exactly.
tour, so she's going to make up for some.
She's horny.
All the ladies this episode are horny.
I know.
The professor just didn't do it for her.
And I think, against your judgment, I believe my great is I was just glad they gave Sue Ellen lines. And I liked it. I mean, it wasn't the best acting, but I could tell that this is when she was starting to come out. And by the two more episodes, by the barbecue later, we talked about, that one is where she really blossomed, I think. So I think this was her starting where they gave her the lines. They said, okay, I see the chemistry. We're going to grow on this. And that was my great.
Awesome.
Mary?
My good would be Sue Ellen and Julie openly telling JR, like, how he is fucking them both up. Because he is. Like, he's, and they're like, look, you're messing with me, and this is how it's affecting my life. And he's just like I don't think he even really thought of it before. You know?
No.
He just has that.
And if he did, he doesn't care.
No, he just has that, like, privilege thing of, like, what? I'm supposed to have both of you, and you belong to me, and you don't. You're not people.
It's his privilege.
Right. He's privileged. I'm J.R. Ewing. I mean, shocker, J.R. Ewing is a very privileged man.
Yes.
My bad would be kind of the whole Orloff political stuff is, for me, kind of like, boring. But
yeah. Yeah, yeah.
And my greats is Cliff Barnes. I love Cliff in this episode because like, early Cliff Barnes is just, he's just so noble. And he's...
That's the word. I couldn't figure it out.
Like, noble. He's idealistic. Yeah. Like, he really, like, wants to change the world. And he, like, yeah, he wants to mess with the Ewings, too. But, like, he really is, like, trying to be a good person and a good politician and all this other stuff, too. And
he hadn't been beaten down by the Ewings.
Right. He had not been beaten down.
That's what I was going to say.
He's strong. And, yeah, I always like Cliff, except for Reboot Cliff. Early Cliff is amazing.
I think you're right. That was the word. He was noble then. He was going for the greater good. And then it shows as it goes on and on and on, that he gets consumed like everyone else with defeating JR. And it becomes his obsessive compulsion. He can't help it. And that's where he goes downhill, I think. But in the earlier ones, yes, noble Cliff, that is a great.
Mostly because I think he has a little bit of, like, a little digger in him, too, where he's just, like, he is bringing himself down along with trying to bring JR down.
Right.
He gets obsessed with it and just takes over his entire life at a certain point. And let's talk about his apartment there. The cowboy hats on the wall and the tacky artwork and the...
She's like, I like what you've done with the place. And I'm like, ew.
And the picture of Digger right there on the desk.
Right by his bed. Interesting.
That was creepy.
I did
notice that when he hands his number to Julie, it's on a Chinese hand laundry tag, which this Chinese hand laundry makes me think of Chinese food, which is Cliff's thing.
Maybe they built on that after that. Right. You never know.
Well, did they have takeout in the laundry?
They might. You don't know.
And Cliff obviously has a thing for the Ewing secretaries. First Julie and then Sly later on.
Like, way later, though.
I love Sly.
Yeah. But it's just an interesting...
I think Cliff is just interested in anyone that JR is interested in.
That's true.
Yes.
That's true. His obsession with JR is starting to... And we had our first great dinner scene confrontation, unlike the breakfast theme, which is, you know, nice fight. Of course, Miss Ellie doesn't like to talk business at the table, but that never stops them.
She's going to ground those boys.
Or at cocktails before dinner.
Right.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
But basically not in the house.
But it's interesting, I think, to study the... Just, you know, the early cinematography too, and just the way the whole series is shot, and you saw the ugly box TV camera in that press conference of Cliff's. You can see how the camera's changed. It just looked like a giant box with something taped to the front of it to look like.
They
a camera.
Did like go out of their way to do interesting angles and things that they didn't do later in the series.
Right, and of course, when they switched to high definition in the new series, that was a whole different animal, too.
Right, because cameras nowadays are just so much, like, lighter and easier to move.
And the product placement of the Dr. Pepper truck in the background, they'd have to pay money today to put that in there.
Well, maybe Dr. Pepper was a thing, because remember in the episode where Lucy's in the high school, the people are wearing the Dr. Pepper t-shirts.
Oh, yeah.
I'm a pepper too. So maybe
How did you notice that?
I notice it every single time I watch that.
early product placement.
So maybe they were like product placement. Interesting.
They were.
Then we got to see Sue Ellen's ugly station wagon, of course. That we all...
I hate that fucking wagon.
You know what? I'm telling you. I want one of those old school wagons. I want one. I think that would be so
for your weekend car.
Retro.
Do you want to go across the country with the Griswolds too?
Maybe.
Yeah.
And there were more dogs at Southport.
There were, yes, definitely.
How did I miss the dogs?
The two dogs right in the establishment shot. Mm-hmm.
Outside
I'm going,
in the front.
Oh, Ray's dogs are back again. And Bobby's Bobby's weird 70s jacket is back, too.
Oh.
And he's still calling her Pammy.
He is calling her Pammy. Bobby calling her. And he's just, like, he's just coming off as really, really naive in these early episodes. Like, he's just super naive. And he's just, like, so presumptuous. Like, she's my wife. Why aren't you instantly believing her? And it's like, because why would anybody instantly believe her? It seems like she probably is the person who gave her brother the thing.
Right.
She's a person of interest.
Right.
Exactly.
She's a Barnes.
Like, why wouldn't... You're being an idiot to not think that she did it.
She used when she was younger, she used to throw rocks at the windows of the Ewing building.
Yeah.
So why wouldn't she want to... steal and turn things over. And where was Harv Smithfield? We had Ed the lawyer. The Ewing attorney was Ed, and then he was never mentioned again.
Huh. When does Harv come along?
Soon?
Ed is never seen again. As of episode 21, Harv Smithfield is the Ewing's lawyer.
Okay. So very, very soon.
He's not seen until season two.
Season two. I see it right when he's dead.
It's funny having the same book.
I know. There was another thing I saw in here. Hold on. Where's the... This episode scored higher in the ratings than episode 2. And it aired against part 1 of Meryl Streep's miniseries, Holocaust. It was ranked 40th out of 65 shows for the week.
Wow.
So, better than last week.
Yeah, very true.
Better. Better, definitely better. But yeah, it continued the... darkness of the miniseries, definitely. And you didn't see a lighter tone until episode 6, which was obviously the new ranch, obviously.
Well, the season premiere of season 2.
Yeah, exactly. A lot of things changed over the course of...
And also, I mean, from then on, it's being filmed in the summer and as opposed to the winter, so... Or spring, as it were, but...
Although... Until we got to the reboot and they decided they didn't want to film in the summer.
When did
they were older. And...
When did they film in the reboot?
Well, I was down there in November of 2011. I was an extra in the barbecue episode in the first season. And we were shooting all day November 16th, actually, of 2011.
That seems like that would be a lot more comfortable in Texas.
Yes.
And
it's hot as shit, though.
Right. It would be even hotter in the summer.
It was the one cold day, though. And when we shot the John Ross and Pamela's wedding, that was in November as well. That was like Veterans Weekend. So we were down on set until like 10:30 at night, and they were hovering over a space heater. It was like 55 degrees. And I'm going, why are you hovering over a space heater? I'm from the north.
Right.
This is warm
degrees.
In November.
What? That's warm.
Well, it was chilly because on the 30-year reunion, that was in November. And when we were walking out past the barn, I was cold.
When the sun went down, it was a little chilly. It's true.
Right.
Well, being from Boston, that was warm to me at November. I was like,
yeah.
I'm from Michigan. It's similar.
It's just always humid here. So, always. Yeah. I think that's the only thing left for that.
Yeah. Any final thoughts? I would say that my final thought is that Julie has terrible taste in men.
Yes. And my final thought is I hate the name Wild Bill Orwell. Fucking hate it. How do they not pick a better name than that?
I'm with you.
Okay.
Yeah, that was a little odd, but it, like I said, it, you know, we were seeing some of the Ewing bribery going on, and starting to see dynamics that are developing that would continue throughout the show. So better than Lessons.
Yes, better than much better than Lessons.
I just see another little fact. I have to say this.
Oh, yeah.
This makes me hate Wild Bill Orloff even more. Is the real actor is Norman Alden. It says his character, this TV character actor who also provided the voice for TV's animated Underdog.
Oh, Underdog.
He should have stuck to Underdog.
Yes, yes. So that was my final thought.
Oh, all right.
That's like Aunt Bethany in Christmas Vacation was Betty Boop. She was the voice of Betty Boop.
Was she?
Did not know that.
I didn't know that either. Nice.
Huh. I'll just throw some trivia.
That's some trivia to leave you with. All right. If you like this podcast, please subscribe to us. Please tell your friends. And please leave us a 5-star rating. If you don't like us, then, you know, just... don't leave any.
Leave us a 5-star rating.
Anyway. Yeah, leave us a 5-star rating anyway. We have social media. We are on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter as the Ewing BBQ.
Yes.
So
leave us some feedback.
Leave us some feedback. Tell us what you liked about this episode, or didn't like, or just your comments, and we will maybe read some at some point. Awesome. And we will see you next week. Bye.
Bye, y'all.
Y'all come back.